Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
Quite right, too. So, Camo, I presume you haven't been invited to the presidential inauguration?
No.
That's all right. I didn't get the invitation either. Yeah. Never mind. It's okay. Yeah. Let's not go political. Camo, it falls to your good self to welcome two fabulous souls who actually came because it's not what you know, it's who you know. They know Ben Lewis. No, it's wonderful stuff. Ben, who isn't with us today, will be back with us tomorrow morning. He's sorting an evening meal, which is splendid stuff. But we have two fabulous souls, one of which is actually from Essex and the other one is from Brighton. So, Camo, before we even go into your musical choice, let's see if you can guess where is Holly McGrattan from. Holly, would you have to say a few words to Camo?
Hello, Camo, it's good to meet you.
On that basis alone, Camo, Essex or Brighton? Brighton?
Oh, Essex? She's from Brighton.
You see? Brighton. Nailed. Straight away, you know. And Kaylee Umphraville?
Yep.
Heading to back to Vermont in the near future.
Yeah, maybe.
And why is that the case then? Why is there an Umphraville household in Vermont?
There is. My mum is from there, so she came over when she married my dad.
There we are. And in Essex, which part of Essex? Because it's a big county.
Brentwood.
Brentwood. Brentwood, Camo. I realise that somebody living in Nashville, you know, such things might be almost beyond the realm of your minds to even comprehend the notion of Brentwood, Essex. But think of the time you spent in Peterborough.
I've been to Brentwood, Essex, a number of times. Oh. And it was, you know, for Essex, quite nice.
Essex.
You see, and I was just going to comment on Camo as a child and his latest sort of incarnation that he's put together with respect to your latest Facebook update. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Never mind. Were you sort of feeling the need to get in touch with the inner young Camo there?
No, there's been kind of a thing going on where people are posting, like, from high school up to present day, and there's usually four or five shots in there, so I thought, what the heck, I'll do it too. So
yep.
I had to expose my dorky self from when I was in high school.
Well, you know, it happens in every sense of the word, but especially so on Facebook. Let's move on, because both Holly and Kaylee are keen to listen to your first piece of music. I've been extolling your virtues for at least 40 minutes, really. It's the whole thing. So take it away, please, Camo.
Yeah, this is kind of cool. We debuted this song worldwide. Nobody had ever heard it before we played it on National Access last week. It was our super pick of the week. And this guy is really cool. And I think this song is going to become one of those romantic songs that a lot of ladies love, especially when they see the video next month. The video is being released in early February, so we'll make sure we get that up on our Facebook page as well. But you're going to dig this song. His name is Travis Rice, and the song is called Don't Waste the Rain on Siren FM.
This house, it's making me miss you, girl. It's burning me out. Just come on home, 'cause I need you now. I know you're at work and I should leave you alone, but I don't know what to do with myself when you're gone. And it's thunder and lightning, it's turning me on. And tomorrow the sun will be shining bright. And I heard that the full moon is gonna come out tonight, tonight, tonight. But right now we've got a perfect storm just begging me to keep you safe and warm. No, we don't get a weather like this every day.
There's nothing at the office, little bit can't wait. Just call me back, baby, tell me you're on the way. Cause who in the hell works on the weekend anyway? You can tell them a lie, you can tell them the truth. You can just walk out, yeah, that's what I would do. I don't care what you tell them, girl, as long as it gets me in. Cause tomorrow the sun will be shining bright. And I heard that the full moon is gonna come out tonight, tonight, tonight. But right now, we've got a perfect storm just begging me to keep you safe and warm. No, we don't get weather like this every day. So come on, baby, let's not waste the rain. The storm could end now, any minute. So come on, baby, let's get with it. Cause tomorrow shining bright. And I heard that the full moon is gonna come out tonight, tonight, tonight. But right now, I've got a perfect storm just begging me to keep you safe and warm. No, we don't get weather like this every day.
Come on, baby, don't waste the rain. And we've been joined by another terrific triumvirate of individual souls. First of all, the return of Lindsay Gold. Yay, Lindsay!
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How
excellent.
Are you?
Always good to see you back in the airwaves of Sire.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Even though your mum has not shown you the official calendar officially on the grounds that you have only just arrived.
She's back. A disgrace.
You may say that. I couldn't personally comment about the legend that is Sam Stone. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, but I don't argue with the fact that I'm a disgrace, but have been very busy the last couple of days. I've hardly seen the girls since you got here.
It happens. And David J. Howe, as ever, has returns as well. But before we find out what David, Lindsay and Sam thought of, well, at least 55 seconds of Don't Waste the Rain, you know, by Travis Rice. Yes. We were almost singing along with the lyrics, actually, in the video. Let's go straight to Holly McGrattan. Holly, what did you make of the tune we've just featured?
I'm not a huge... I don't have much knowledge of country music, but as a first... song where I watched the lyric video as well. It was good. It was calming.
There we
I
are.
Liked it.
Watching the lyric video and good and calming. Spoken like a true Brighton person. Well done. Let's move on to Kaylee.
I thought it was lovely. It was very nice and relaxing. Something my mum would enjoy.
You can give her a dedication if you wish, basically. I mean, she's currently in Brentwood, Essex,
yes,
waiting
is.
To go back to Vermont. Is it just because she's sick of Britain, basically? Is that
yes.
Why?
She's ready to go home.
Yeah, well, you know, as I said,
maple syrup.
Get there.
She is. She is.
Bottom line, get there before the wall goes up. Otherwise, you know, who knows what could happen.
Oh, dear.
Let's not go there.
Lindsay, what did you make of the process?
I thought it was really nice. Very relaxing. Mm. It's the sort of song you drive to. I like a bit of relaxing country here and there, yeah.
I've just taken a driving motoring survey, actually, for an automobile association. Oh, I've given it a name. But they actually asked, when was the last time you drove when severely tired? Well, never. You shouldn't do it. You know, it's a silly question. You know, what is this? Are you trying to catch me? Yeah, it's by the Bible. David.
Yes, well, again, as you say, we only caught, like, the last minute or so. But, again, like, Cameron's got this, he really picks typically country sounds, doesn't he?
That's why he runs Nashville Access.
That will be why.
That's why he's in the series.
Yeah,
Nashville.
No, very, very country sound, very smooth.
It's
very
like Mozart?
Very easily. Well, absolutely. Cameron Mozart Tilbury. Yeah. We'll rename him.
No.
And Sam.
Yes, I thought it was really lovely from what we heard. Very nice. Yes. Nice voice.
Camo, I'm going to ask Sam to put those last two questions to you because she's the senior co-presenter in the studio. So go, Sam.
Hi, Camo.
Right.
Have you had...
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Sam? I'm good. We hardly ever get to talk, do we? Let's just have a conversation now and forget the questions.
How was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
It was busy. It was good but busy. How was yours?
Good. That was fine.
Alex is going to cut us off any minute. So, have you had a reasonably good telephone link with us today?
I have, and it was especially good just talking with you.
Aw, and you too, Camo. And will you be back again?
But I'll be back next week.
Superb.
Remembrances like a polluted beach, a graveyard of mermaid dreams, swept up by the fire I used to preach. Cassandra Mark II, the scapegoat for your ego. They wouldn't listen to the truth of the traitor incognito. Coming out of a cold, fast darkness, moving in, creeping closer.
Sung by one of the team in the studio. But Anna Lewis, do you know who might have sung The Resurrection of Prospero? Could it be Sam Stone, do you think?
Oh, it sounds like it very much could be.
Mm. Yep. Could it be David J. Howe?
Yes, I think it probably was.
could it be Holly McGrattan?
It could be.
Could it be Kaylee Umphraville?
Maybe.
Or could it be Lindsay Gold?
No, it's definitely not me. Don't be ridiculous.
Yes, Lindsay Gold channeling the spirit of her mum, Sam Stone, there in The Resurrection of Prospero. It's all great stuff there. Not, of course, that we're channeling the spirit suggesting that Sam has passed on beyond the Nutmore Coil. She's live. She's in the studio, exactly, still.
I certainly am.
In corporeal form. Anna, it's your first show back since we took that little hiatus over Christmas. Why did we not reach you last week?
Well, it's a whole series of things that was going on. In the process of selling my house, I was in a meeting at work. I had to switch the phone off, and all sorts of weird things are going on with my phone. I'm sure there's a poltergeist in there somewhere that does evil things, so much so that I have to hold it in my hand to make sure I don't miss calls. Desperate, this is.
It is, actually. I mean, you would have thought that in the 21st century that these spiritual devices that actually sort of operate will have their own friends via various social networking sites without having to sort of interrupt on all sorts of other bits and pieces. But never mind. You're with us now. That's the important thing. Let's work away. I mean, Sam, any questions you want to put to Anna about life, the universe, why she's desperate to leave Jersey, and so on?
Yes, Anna, why on earth? We still haven't had those Jersey delights.
Oh, God.
We've not had those.
I was just thinking about that.
No, so you can't leave until we've had those?
No, I'm going to have to organise that. I discovered he doesn't only do them once a week, as I first suspected. He does them every day, so now there's no excuse. I just need to make sure that someone at the other end of Lincoln Uni will actually sign for them.
Oh, that's the thing.
In case they get driven through customs and excise and get taken off the scene for being something that could be a weapon of mass destruction or something.
Anna, we've got at least another 2 years before the hard Brexit comes into operation.
Oh, we'll be fine, yes.
I appreciate that it could be a critical aspect with respect to trade negotiations and so on to actually have the Jersey delights, but, you know, it's a different line. Let's do a quick sort of... Kayleigh, have you ever been to Jersey?
No, I haven't.
Has your mum ever been to Jersey?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You see Brentford, Essex, you know, Jersey, could be a whole set of them. And Holly McGrattan, any thoughts for yourself about Jersey?
Not particularly. I haven't gone there. So.
I mean, one of these days we will get there, I'm sure. And yet Anna spends most of her time trying to leave it.
Now, I wanted to ask Anna, because I've heard another Jersey thing this week. That I'd never heard of before, and you've not mentioned it, so I'm thinking, is this another big Jersey secret that you're trying to keep from the rest of the world because it's so awesome? Jersey black butter.
Oh, yuck. Yes, that's the word. Yuck.
Yuck.
It is vile. It is the most vile thing on the planet. Whoever invented it must have been very drunk.
So what is it exactly?
Well, it's made of apples, and it's typically produced in the autumn after the apple harvest. And what they do is they sit around a huge cauldron and add magical ingredients to it, such as treacle.
Yeah, it's got molasses and treacle.
Yeah, molasses and treacle, and it's like brown slop. It looks like diesel, but they sell it at Lamar Vineyard, which is a very bespoke local tourist attraction. And it's very popular, but to be quite honest, it's the sort of thing, it's a bit like Marmite. Either you love it or you hate it.
Because apparently it's called apple butter in some places as well.
Right.
I don't know why, because I don't think it's got butter in it. But,
No, it's not even butter. It's like a. It's
so it's very, very sweet, presumably.
It's very dark brown. It's very runny. It's not actually as runny as honey, but it's. It's that kind of consistency.
How strange.
And they actually produce an ice cream flavoured of it.
Really?
It's Jersey Milk has produced black butter ice cream. But it's a misnomer. It would never pass as a butter, ever.
Thank you so much for clearing that one up,
Don't bother. I mean, it really is a kind of... Sorry, I'm not promoting weed very well, but the ice cream's fine.
And yet, Anna, on the official jerseyblackbutter.com website, it actually won Great Taste Gold in 2009, a unique Jersey conserve.
It must have been one of those bribery scenarios.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
A rich mixture of apples, Jersey cider and spices. Yeah.
Actually, the more we talk about it, the more tasty it's sounding to me. Is anyone else feeling that? Yeah. Is it happy? I want to try it. Yeah.
Between 1600 and 1700, 20% of Jersey's arable land was made up of orchards. And Lemaire invested 10 years perfecting this centuries-old recipe in their kitchens. Locals have rated it as one of the best they have ever tasted.
Wow. So it sounds like the little care package, Anna, needs to consist of some Jersey delights, a little jar of apple butter. What else can you fit in there that's unique to Jersey? You can't put ice cream, that wouldn't work.
No, that wouldn't work. No, you're right, actually. I'm not sure. Oh, they have cabbage loaves, but it might be stale. What they do is they put cabbage leaves around a loaf of bread before it goes in the oven that clings to the bread, and it's called a cabbage loaf. It doesn't taste any different. It's like, I suppose it's a bit of a gimmick, really, because the cabbage is something to do.
How interesting.
They've got some very strange... things they do in Jersey, haven't they?
They're strange types down in Jersey, aren't they?
Well, if you're looking for a theme for another Stone Tapes, just do Jersey. That's different.
Yes. The weirdest thing they have, the cabbage stick, walking sticks. I know it sounds absurd, but the cabbages used to grow about 6 foot tall in Jersey. There's even a song about it. And they used to make walking sticks out of them, and they used to put a coin on the top of the walking stick, and it was really something quite spectacular. And you can actually Google up pictures of the Jersey cabbage stick.
Oh.
But they did, they were really high cabbages that were cultivated specifically for making these walking sticks.
Gosh.
So if you've got nothing else to do in your life,
I think
you
Alex
can always go on in your garden.
Some pictures.
Always very important. Obviously, if you're driving, please don't actually Google and look at these. But there we have the... it's very important. I mean, people might say, I want to find out what a Jersey cabbage stick walking stick actually looks like. And there we have it.
This is brilliant. I love it.
And so it's brought us neatly round to simply saying once again...
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Anna Lewis?
Oh, it's been an absolute blast. Thank you.
And will you be back with your black jersey material in the very near future?
I certainly will. Thank you for the offer.
Yeah, yeah, cheers. Paris. I remember she used to come home and she would tell us these stories about being abroad. And I remember she told us that she jumped into the river once. Barefoot. She smiled, left without looking, and tumbled into the sand. The water was freezing. She spent a month sneezing, but said she would do it again. Here's to the ones who dream, foolish as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that to the mess we make. She captured a feeling, sky with no ceiling, the sunset inside a frame. She lived in her liquor and died with a flicker. I'll always remember. Here's to the ones who dream, foolish as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that ache. Here's to the mess we make. She told me a bit of madness is key. Give us new colors to see. Who knows where it will lead us? And that's why they need us. So bring on the rebels, the ripples from pebbles, the painters and poets and plays. And here's to the fools who dream, crazy as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that break. Here's to the mess we make. I trace it all back to them. Her and the snow and the sun, smiling through it, she said.
heartrending, heartrending in so many ways. The audition sequence from La La Land with, of course, Emma Stone. And I suspect it's an ideal way to effortlessly actually move over to this next little ident.
The Addams Family. Wonder Woman. The Green Hornet. Bonanza. Murder, She Wrote. The Mod Squad. Honey West. Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
We are, and we will be. Arthur, welcome to 2017 series of the Midweek Drive.
Yes, thank you. I can't tell you how happy I am here. That I am to be here 2017.
Exactly. It's the way forward. Now, have you managed to see La La Land at all, or is it a case of no, it's a contemporary musical?
No, as a matter of fact, Annette and I went the day it opened here, and we couldn't get in. There was such a crowd. And then in the interim, we've had this malady that has been running around here, so we haven't seen it yet, but we plan to.
I think you'll enjoy it. 7 Golden Globes, of course, are likely to run away with the Academy Awards, which has raised a number of sort of issues from that point of view. In the studio, we have two brand new folk entirely. We have Holly McGrattan.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Holly.
From Brighton, no less. And Kaylee Umfraville.
Hello, Kaylee. Hello.
Good evening.
from Brentwood, Essex. We also have the welcome return of the young lady you once said, Arthur, I should actually be doing a Bond theme in terms of her power, her voice and all sorts of other areas. That would be Lindsay Gold.
Hi.
I did indeed. Hello, Lindsay. I meant it then and I mean it now.
Thank you. It's lovely to hear from you again.
Actually so. And David J. Howe and Sam Stone.
Hi,
hello, Davey. Hello,
hi,
Sam.
Astoundingly, David.
What a crowd you have.
Yeah. Oh, you should have been here before Christmas, Arthur. We had so many people, we had to do it in shifts.
And in terms of the shock factor, I was stunned to find that Sam, nor indeed David, had actually seen La La Land. But of course, actually, Holly, you have, and Kaylee, you have.
Yeah, we saw it last night.
So, your media production undergraduates, what did you make of the whole experience?
I thought cinematography-wise it was beautiful. Mm. We went with quite a lot of, quite a big group, and it was 50-50 for whether we liked it or not, but we loved it.
Yeah.
Arthur, it's clearly one of those things which, in the words of our other wonderful director colleague from Los Angeles, Phil Lernis, is what Hollywood likes. Movies that celebrates the stresses and strains actors go through to emerge triumphant. Go back to A Star Is Born, Singing in the Rain, and so on. When you were producing and going through that audition phase and so on, did you look to actually make the actors feel uncomfortable? Was it a case of, yes, ensure that we take calls halfway through the audition scenario? Because I can't imagine you having anything other than an avuncular, friendly approach to jobbing actors who wanted to roll in Murder, She Wrote or other things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't begin to tell you how, having been a child actor myself, the thought of making an actor uncomfortable is just anathema. No. And you know, the only one who seems to have done it in terms of press that we all know about is Hitchcock, who used to lock people in closets or tell them lies about the other one that they had.
We tried it on the Midweek Drive. It didn't really work. I mean, people just weren't motivated, you know. They say,
yeah, no. What you want to do is bend over backwards and let the person have their say, you know. And it usually they then look to you, because actors are as insecure as the rest of us, and perhaps even more so, they look to you for direction, which is one of my greatest picks against Woody Allen, who never opens his mouth to an actor, except, please, can you stand over there and not there?
Well, I suppose it's Woody. It could be worse. You could be in a Roman Polanski movie. Don't even go there. Sam, you started doing some acting as well in various ways and getting yourself out. I mean, have you found you've worked with... Because you've worked with a few sort of student... In addition to your writing and skills from that point of view, I mean, have you found that your people working from the student field have been directing you effectively, or have you just said, we don't know, just stand there, please?
No, I think they were really good, actually. The radio drama I did, which was called Dear Emily... Mm. The students who had written it and were producing it were brilliant, really good to work for.
So you see, thumbs up from her. As media production students, what are your views on this? And I mean, have you done any directing as yet, Kayleigh? Would you like to? Is it?
I did my directing for my first shift film, which was very interesting. I enjoyed it.
And would you like to share with Arthur and the listener what exactly it was all about? What was the concept?
It was written by one of our group members called Beginning of Forever, and it was about a guy whose girlfriend has died, and it's about him trying to get through the problems that he had with trying to deal with it.
There we are.
So, yeah.
Heartily emotional and all sorts of like, Beginning of Forever. Mm. Could almost be Brigadoon again, but maybe not. Holly?
I just directed a documentary on the history of the Brayford, which was first time I directed something, and it was something I struggled with, but we did it and got a film, so it's all right.
In case you're wondering, Arthur, your wife Annette has actually seen the Brayford, because it's the Brayford pool that's actually not too far away from the Siren Studio.
I was going to ask, what's a Brayford?
So the history of the Brayford. Now, did you go back to Lindum times, to Roman times?
Yes, we did. I got some really cool archive footage from Mace, which is the
media archive for Central England.
Yep. And also the Lincolnshire Archives. It was actually really, really interesting.
And here we have two fine folk, Arthur, who one of whom might be heading it back to the States, to Vermont, to be precise. We don't know. Our mother's apparently fed up with Essex, surely. When your mother is fed up with Essex, you're tired of life, surely. Brentwood, but never mind. But have you got any sort of thoughts or views? Because I was talking in the pre-show chat where we were having a sort of discussion over, obviously, some very strong still water. in terms of advice, and I was saying the best thing to do is to obviously get as much experience as you can, put as many sort of strings to your bow as possible, increase your versatility. Is that a fair comment, Arthur, or do you say no? Take no notice of him whatsoever.
I think certainly experience is good, but life is experience. And I think one of the greatest stumbling, it's funny you're saying this now, because I just finished reading a very long review of a book on Spielberg out for his 70th birthday. And he started to follow people's edicts that you must either write or shoot what you know. Well, he was 8 years old. What he knew was what an eight-year-old knew. He had an 8mm camera, and he shot the world around him. What people, I think, do when they make these edicts is they limit the imagination of a person. You don't need to have great experience. You don't have to be a Hemingway-esque type character to make a brilliant film. I'm always brought back to the fact that Spielberg put together, from his own point of view, a rambling set of 8 and 16 millimeter on 35 millimeter, and at age 16 broke his way into Universal Studios, into Sid Sheinberg's office. He ran the studio then, and said, please, please look at this. He did. And at 21, he gave him a contract for 7 years. And that's because Spielberg didn't listen to anybody. He had his own confidence, and he went ahead and did something. And that's the key thing. Do something. Don't sit there and contemplate it and say, oh, well, I know tomorrow will be better than today. Tomorrow is a day later, and you have a day less to live. So make use of what you have around you, and don't listen to people. I think that's one of the worst things that could happen to you, is to listen to someone else's point of view when it limits your own. Factual things are aside from this, of course. But if you have a vision, follow it. Don't listen to anybody. Just go ahead and do it. You'll either win or you'll lose, but at least it will be yours.
Sam?
I really agree with that, Arthur, actually. And it's very relevant to writers, because sometimes editors want you to change your work quite substantially, and it may not be the vision you had in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
You have
to
stay true to your own vision.
No one lives in your head but you. And that's not to say you shouldn't take in advice from people,
absolutely,
but weigh it for yourself. Weigh it for yourself. Don't say, oh, that person's successful, therefore I must copy. Well, a copy is a copy. Forget it. If you are successful, it will only last one or two shots because eventually you run out of steam. So, you know, originality is everything. It's everything.
Another vitally inspirational piece there, Arthur, which is wonderful. Any questions you'd like to put to Arthur? Holly?
Are you going to buy the book?
Which book is that?
The Stephen
Oh, yeah, it's a nice one. Yeah.
Yes, I am. I will share one thing for you.
Yeah.
I had, I was on the Universal lot. I was doing Ironside. And I have an image which comes back to me constantly of a young fellow seated right inside the studio on a wall that abutted the first parking lot and the guard booth that stopped or let people into the studio. He was sitting on there with a little IMO camera, a 16-millimeter World War II antique camera called an IMO, and he was swinging his legs. And I just happened to take it in and thought to myself, there's an anachronism. Here's this old camera and a young fellow seated here in the studio. What a nice image. And I went on about my business. 2 or 3 years later, I was introduced to him by Sid Sheinberg and said, I'd like you to meet a very talented young fellow. And he said, this is, I hope that he'll become a good director. And I looked at him and I said, were you once sitting on? He said, yes, that was me. he used to break regularly into the studio. So it shows, if you want to get something done, you can get it done.
But don't break the law. Well, anyway. Arthur, it's been sensational as ever. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today for your first one of 2017?
I certainly have. You have a very lovely crowd there.
Oh, and what's the next question, Sam?
Will you be back to join us again sometime soon, Arthur?
I absolutely will. Thank you.
You realise when you join us in February, Arthur, there'll be another president of the White House.
Oh, no.
Please, please. I've had a very nice time.
There you go.
Goodbye, all.